Coming up, we'll have students.
Yeah,
student
there are some students, you bet.
Yeah, phonology talkbacks. We've heard from some folks from northern Minnesota, some from Kansas, and places in between. We always like to hear from you. You can email John, jlatimer@kexe.org, or call our talkback line, 218-999-9876.
It is time for talkback. Talkback is your opportunity to communicate with us. Maybe you have an observation you'd like to share, maybe a comment you'd like to make, or maybe you'd just like to ask a question. And we will try to invent an answer. So in that spirit, I will start off with this note that I got from Deb. She says, I have never seen these before. There was a photograph accompanying or an image accompanying this note. What would you have any idea what they are? And Deb sent this unusual photograph of some kind of a mushroom, but it didn't look like the typical, mushroom toadstool sort of thing. It looked like something from the ocean, sort of a, I don't know, or like a body part. It was kind of this white, and it had an opening, and it looked like it was hollow inside. The best I can do, Deb, is just shrug my shoulders and say, it looks like a fungus to me. It is some sort of a fungus, and I am sorry that I couldn't do any better for you, Deb. It is not an area of my expertise. I'm not repulsed by fungi. In fact, I really enjoy them, and I enjoy their connections, and the amazing things that they do are absolutely astonishing. But I still haven't taken the time to sort them out and learn very many of them. I know a few, and the one you sent a picture of is one that I don't know. So I will defer to others. Perhaps you could post it on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch. There are a lot of mycologists who follow that. And you'll pretty quickly probably get someone who knows what it is. We also heard from our good friend Harvey Jader. Harvey is a forest ecologist working in the Bemidji area. And his note says, working in western Becker County today... I found lots of tick trefoil seeds on my clothes, both the pointed-leaved and the showy tick trefoil. Tall coneflowers, a.k.a. cut-leaved coneflower, or Rudbeckia laciniata, are blooming under a dense tree canopy, and paper birches are turning yellow. And I also heard from our friend Dick, who lives on Bass Lake, and he said... John, while talking with a Bass Lake neighbor, I asked how they kept the fox from getting their chickens. That brought up the subject of foxes, and I learned that another neighbor apparently has had photo of the tailless mother fox, and there is a reported second, younger fox without a tail also. So maybe it's a congenital thing. I can't imagine a poor fox being born without a tail. That is their proudest piece. You know, they have that great giant fluffy tail. I saw a fox this week running across the golf course out at Sugar Lake, and he just looked absolutely astonishingly well dressed, and his tail was quite the flag of distinction. And of course, in the wintertime, that's what they throw up over their face to keep their nose warm. So yeah, I can't imagine being without a tail, both from the sartorial sense and from the keeping my nose warm sense. I would not want to be a tailless fox.
Hey, John, we got a talk back on Twitter I wanted to tell you about. Do you remember last week when you were telling us the difference between spruce or a balsam pine tree?
Yes.
So I tweeted about that.
All right.
That you had said the spruce needles are individual. If you pull a needle off, it will roll readily, squarely. If you can't get it to roll, it's a balsam fir. We heard from Sievert's Woods. They said you can also use cat blink or Christmas. When crushed, balsam fir needles have a festive smell associated with Christmas wreaths, while spruce have a more pungent quality, reminiscent of a full cat litter box.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I do three hikes a week out at Sugar Lake Lodge. And I tell them exactly that. Rub this tree. Now smell it. Now, how does that smell to you? And a lot of people don't pick up on that kind of sour cat litter smell that is readily apparent to me in a spruce tree. And the balsam, whenever anybody roughs up the balsam, the first thought or the first words out of their mouth was, it smells like Christmas trees. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Right on the head, that one. We did hear from our good friends, the Newstalk children, Ruth, Axel, and Pearl, and here is their report for this week.
Hi, this is Pearl.
This is Ruth.
And Axel Newstalk.
We saw three deer in our grandparents' backyard. There was a mom, dad, and a little fawn with white speckles. The dad had turned gray, and he had pretty big antlers.
When we were at our grandparents' house, we also saw a woodchuck. It had buried under their back deck. Later that day, we also found a dead mouse in a trap that had been under there for a while. It was very gross.
When we were driving back from their house, we saw something in the road ahead of us. We pulled over and saw that it looked like a wild turkey. It was really big. We haven't seen one in a while.
Bye.
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 Bye, kids. Thank you. You know, one of my own notes for this week was that I had seen a deer. I think it was a buck. I didn't get a real good look because it was quickly escaping my vision. But it was starting to turn the gray of fall. And that is certainly something that they do this time of year. So watch and see. Oh, and Heidi, on the way in this morning, I almost hit a deer just about two blocks up the road here. and mama went by, and then baby went by right behind her, and baby was spotless. So the fawns will be losing their spots and probably switching over to that more wintry coat.
Yeah, this is gray. They're everywhere. You got to have your keen spider senses to be watching for deer at all times at this time of year.
Indeed. Yeah. Speaking of spider senses, this is the time of year when the orb weavers really get out and get going, and they make these wonderful nets and these big circular spider webs. And on a morning like this, when you get a little dew, it can be absolutely a jewel to go out and look for those. So check those out. And from Mary, who lives in Cross Lake, she said, love your show and so impressed with your knowledge. I bet after this morning, she's probably lost a little of that impression. Though these flowers are everywhere now, some in the woods, others on the lakeshore. Can you identify them for me? Also, a couple of fungi photos that are whimsical for your enjoyment. Last year at this time, I took about 118 fungi shots that were so incredible. Love these woods. Thank you, John. And that from Mary in Cross Lake. And the pictures that she sent were of butter and eggs, which is that kind of yellow with, it's a pale yellow, butter yellow, and then a bright orangey yellow in the middle of the flower that looks like an egg yolk. And that one, and then obedient plant, which looks a lot like turtle head, or foxglove, has a kind of a tubular deep flower. It's pink, and it's called obedient plant because you can bend the flower in any direction, and it'll stay there. And then the third one was northern water whorehound, I believe, but it was a little difficult to tell because, first of all, that flower is very small. Grows in the axils of the leaves, and so it was a little difficult to identify, but I think that was the third one. And we heard from Andy from Brainerd. Andy says, hi, John. It's Andy. I'm a proud member, and we're glad to have you as a member, Andy. Trust me. Been about a week since seen last, but for about 10 days, we had a chipping sparrow show up at our feeders with a yellow warbler. The pair would land on the power line close to the feeders, and the sparrow would go to the feeders and back to the line and feed the warbler. Alas, the warbler learned to go to the feeder. Can only imagine, the warbler was sparrow raised. On the 27th, seven hummingbirds visiting and warring at our feeders was actually able to see all seven at one time, and only one time. Only one male observed. Other friends coming are downy, hairy, and red-bellied woodpeckers and their broods. Cardinals, two males and two females, one female and a youngster for sure. The rest of the friends showed up, including chickadees, both nuthatches, purple finches, occasional goldfinches, three mourning doves, and the lonesome one we call, it is not bullied, but, and the lonesome one we call it is not bullied by the obvious pair. Love Tuesday morning, John. Outstanding job that you do. We also heard this week from
Marilyn, our friend
Marilyn
from Kansas.
Hi, Friday morning. It's August 28th. My name's Marilyn Roy. I'm a listener from Topeka, Kansas, one of your Kansas members. I'm calling to ask three questions of John Latimer. First of all, I'd like to know if there are chiggers in northern Minnesota. Secondly, I'd like to know if there are ladybugs in northern Minnesota. And thirdly, I'd like to know what it is in mosquitoes' bite that causes the itching. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show every single day, and really, your show makes my day.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. That's awfully kind. I hope you'll still think so after these unbiased answers. First of all, chiggers. No, there are no chiggers in northern Minnesota. We have other biting insects, but no chiggers. And the ladybugs, we have scads. We have all you could want and more. And what makes the bite itch? It's the anticoagulant that the insect sticks into you to keep your blood from clotting right there where they've opened up the opening so that they can get the blood out. If they didn't put something in there to keep it from coagulating, it would just clot up and they would get nothing. So that's how that runs. One final note that we need to cover this morning, and many of you are used to hearing Chris Hagen join us on the radio. On Tuesday morning, she was a phenologist at Long Lake Conservation Center for many, many, many years and recently retired from that job and became an active contributor to our phenology program. Chris has had a stroke and is under the care of hospice right now, and things don't look very promising, but we are all holding her in our thoughts and prayers. And if you'd like to join us in helping Chris and Dave Hagen, you can check out our website and we will have a link to her GoFundMe page.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page right now. Chris was also, when I host Green Cheese, she would call in. She'd usually had the answer right. And then I'd say, how are the butterflies? So then she'd give us an update on her butterfly houses.
Yeah, Chris is a great person, and we're sorry to hear that she's in ill health, and we hope for the best.
That's right. Find that link for Chris Hagen's GoFundMe page. It is on our Facebook page. All the links are available at kaxe.org.